1, 2, 3. We're going now. All I had to do was turn that button on. Well, glory to God. I'm almost jealous, you know. Disneyland, you know. Man, everybody ought to go to Disneyland once. I did. Stay off the roller coasters. They're dangerous, my mother would tell me. But God will give you the desires of your heart. Has anybody got some desires of your heart here? Not your desires of your heart for somebody else. Because, see, it's got to be, and if you're a husband and wife, it can be desires of your heart that you share with one another that you come into agreement with. Because the last time I spoke about if any two shall agree as to touching anything on earth, it can be done according unto them. And even if you're just single and you just pray for God and get in agreement with God's word is going to do it for you. Amen? And I was moved to study this week in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9, 10. And I knew this verse. I knew it very well. But I just got to thinking about all the people that are hurting and all the people that are in pain, all the people that are in confusion. And they're looking for answers everywhere else but God. And I'm just going to read this. I'm going to start reading this, and I'm going to go somewhere with it. And Jabez was more honorable than his brother, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow, our pain, our confusion. Has anybody had any pain in their life at any time? Has anybody suffered any loss in their life? Whether it's financial, physical, mental, whether you lose a loved one, somebody you thought was always going to be with you and they ain't with you, something you were believing for and hoping for the little family and the little family never worked out like you might have wanted it to and caused a broken heart. Jabez's own mother named him Pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel right here, right now. For any pains, any heartaches, any confusions, anything that's been attached to your mind saying you can't do it, you can't go there, you can't be that, you can't be successful, you can't have a nice life, you can't have a nice car. That's for somebody else's kids, but it's not for you and your kids. I have news for you. It's for you and your kids too. Everybody can have a nice life. The life comes through Jesus Christ and through making a determination. Here's Jabez. Remember, his mama named him Pain. I don't care what your mama names you. You know, you can change your name. Amen? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. He didn't want to be called Pain no more. He didn't want to grieve people. He didn't want to grieve himself. But right here, everybody sitting here right now, I'll tell you, the number one person in your life you don't want to grieve. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to grieve the plan of God in your life. God may be calling you to be in the ministry. God may be calling you into some works. God's calling my sister back there. Out of her mouth, I agreed with her. That this is being settled once and for all when she goes back to court. And did she say so I could go buy a new car? No, and it's okay if she buys a new car. She said so I can bless some people that I know are hurting. You know, God wants to bless people that are hurting. God wants to bless people that don't have enough. God wants to make your life so great that you look in the mirror and say, I can't believe God's doing this in my life. Amen? Pastor Kelly always impresses me when she started talking about feeding the neighborhood in the midst of COVID. And then when she said, I don't really think I can cook that good. And she started whipping up these meals, and everywhere I give one of the meals away, they start bragging on it right away. I haven't ate a meal like that. I haven't even ate a meal in a restaurant that good. And then you see these people, and mainly the meal is the great blessing. Most of the people are shut-ins, and there's one single lady named Beth, and I spend about 5 or 10 minutes with her talking about her, and she tells me about her husband and how he died early and then how her other husband died. And you can tell that brokenheartedness, and she starts tearing up when she talks about it. So, you know, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to sit there and listen to her and tell her about the wife I lost with cancer, and I'm going to bond with her, and we're going to take her by the hand, and I'm going to pray. And the other day I was telling her that my wife worked at a nursing home, and we were delivering something over there, and I was telling her, and she said that her mom used to be in a nursing home, and she's actually been in there when they were taking care of her. And I told her, well, my wife takes money out of her own check and buys soap and shampoo and stuff, and she gives 7 or 8 people a bath a day, and some of the people don't got their own stuff. Some of them don't have anything, and she uses her own money to make sure they got smell-good stuff and soap and conditioner. And before I could go, she said, after we prayed, she said, wait a minute, I want to give you something. And she came and she put $40 in my hand and said, give that to your wife and tell her I want to sow into the senior citizens. And I thought to myself, how many people would be shut in, getting a meal, would just be thinking about herself. But this lady's a Christian. She's got God in her life, and she wants to reach out and touch and help somebody else. Yeah. Amen? We'll go back to Jabez in a minute. This verse is on the computer every morning. But every morning it's not this verse, but this was this morning's verse. And I said, this is a good verse. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. In your hearts, honor the Lord God. In your hearts, be like Jabez. He was more honorable than all of his brethren. And I'm still impressed by this. The last 3 or 4 weeks or month, Brother Angelo said, when he became a Christian, he told God he wanted to do stuff that nobody else would do for him. He wanted to be not just a Christian getting by, he wanted to do what God told him to do. And see, there's a difference between somebody that's just a Christian that shows up and wonders, you know, is God going to do anything? Or you get up in the morning and you say, God, what can you use me for today? I want you to use me. I want you to minister through me to somebody else. And whether it's passing out a meal or whether it's just telling somebody how lovely they look or saying, hey, do you need prayer? This week I got a buddy named Aaron, and Mary knows him, Brother Angelo knows him. And I love the guy. He's my friend for a bunch of years, but he always goes into the conspiracy theories. Now, I'm into conspiracy theories, you know. Don't get me going, man. But he tells me how bad life is and how things are going to start going bad, and you better stock up on the beans and the potato, and if not, you're going to run out. And he just goes until my head starts spinning. And, you know, he gives me an encouragement to get on the hauling jack and drive to go get some more pallets. And he gave me encouragement that day to go to break early so I didn't have to listen to that. And while I was in break, I had a wonderful free cup of coffee from Walmart, and I bought me an apple pie out of the thing. And I sat there in peace eating my apple pie and drinking my coffee. And when I went back in there and he started again, I said, you know, Aaron, I am just thanking God, and I am amazed. I'm just praising God for that apple pie and that cup of coffee. Because in your life, though there be confusion, though the newspaper doesn't say everything that I want to hear, though the news says this and this, God always says be thankful and be grateful for whatever you got. If God's giving you a job and they're only working you 6 hours, thank him for every one of those 6 hours. If God gives you a real estate license and you don't sell but one house in a year, I thought I was rocking and rolling. I sold one house in a year, you know. And I haven't had that problem lately, but I was grateful that I had a real estate license. I was grateful, like I said on a video last night, it took me 3 times to pass. Brother Angelo said, I was wondering if you was ever going to pass. Now, I'm already speaking out. When I go to broker class, it's only going to take me 1 time to pass the test, because them dudes ain't $75 a test no more. They're about 100, and they're a little more to be a broker. I only want to do it once. Amen? Amen. But this verse, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It's not that some of the things my buddy at work says may not be valid, But really, I'm just there to work, and I'm there to just do what God tells me to do. And I bless him, and sometimes he blesses me. But there's people that the devil puts in your life that will try to pour garbage on you and confusion. And you know what? At the end of the day, you need to be figuring out who's going to encourage me. Who's going to bind together with me in prayer? Who's going to help me get to where I want to go in life? And, you know, there's some people that you can't help, but there's some people that you can't help. And, you know, you really need to be hearing God on that. Amen? Jabez got sick of being a pain. And I'm going to read this. The name Jabez carries significant meaning rooted in its biblical concept, with pain being behind its name. His label since birth, Jabez's name was not pleasant from the start. His mother named him Jabez, which literally means he will cause pain, and his own suffering, and labeled him according to imagine carrying the name your mom names you pain, sorrow, depression. Rising above the labels, despite this challenging label, Jabez did not let it define him. The devil tells you every day you're not going to make it. The devil tells you you was a drug addict. You can't get over that. I hear people say, well, they got mental problems. They can't help it. Well, man, maybe you can't help it, but God can help you, because Jabez had some problems, but he decided, calling on the God of breakthrough. Two things. Are you more honorable than your brothers or sisters? Are you more honorable than the lies of the devil? Because if you're honorable, you're going to find a promise in this Bible that will answer your problems. Whether your problems are healing in your body, financial, whether your problems are relationship-wise. What an awesome study these guys have been doing on relationships. Fathers, daughters, sons, families, mothers, kids, people in church. And we come together, man, and we're the most powerful force on earth, because if any two shall agree as to touching anything. And it says, if one commands the devil to leave, two could take power over 10,000. How much more could all of us today do? Every time the church comes together, there is answered prayer in here. Just in the little bit of putting our wallets on here, just, they were sort of desperate. I mean, I had a few sales, and she goes, we really need to have a prayer meeting here and try to get everybody here. I said, I know a guy, and I recommended your dad because I know how busy you are. And he come over there, and he prayed, and he visited with John Boy. And, man, I don't know about everybody else, but I grabbed hold of that prayer because I've sold 5 or 6 places in the last couple weeks. Since he came, sales started coming, and each of them have got something going on. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. In this church, Pastor Kelly's already said that they got extra seats out for Easter. But why in the heck would me and Jeremiah want to put them seats back in there and wait till next year? How easy would it be for God to build this church at Easter and some people just say, I think I'm going to come back next Sunday. I think I'm going to show up and help with the meal program. I think I'm going to show up, not me personally, somebody, and help Frank take the garbage out, because he's been doing it a lot lately. He needs a break. How much more can God do more in your life? Because he wants to do more. Amen? Amen? And then, like, I'm going to go to my notes. Isaiah 53:4-5. I borrowed this from Pastor Kelly. I thought this goes right along with the pain and the suffering thing in Isaiah 53. And Jesus, it says of Jesus, he is despised, rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Imagine Jesus when he was going to the cross. Imagine him when he was in the garden and he asked his disciples to pray for him and they were falling asleep. And he was fighting and saying, Lord, if you can take this cup from me, please take it. And the devil was telling him, "Not, you can't do this. You can't die for these people. These people don't even, they're not even worth it." Man, is somebody in here worth you being a blessing? Is somebody that you work for? Because you should be ready to give every man an answer for the hope that's in you. Now, I was labeled the nicest guy you know, But I have decided I don't care if you're my own mother and you're going to tell me something that's false against the Word of God. I'm not going to sit there and agree with you even if you're 80 years old. I'm going to direct you back to the Bible and the Word of God. And no, you know, the Bible tells us that we need to be blessed. The Bible tells us that we need to be polite. Now, some people get it in their head that all, this is a weird saying, but we're supposed to go through the tribulation. This is what a guy told me. And everybody that's believing in this rapture stuff, they're just believing a false liehood. Well, you know, I'm going to believe something, and I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. I'm not going to believe what some rattle-headed idiot thinks it says because he watches somebody that don't even read the Word of God. And I'm going to believe, God, that I'm going to be out on the first boat. Amen? Now, I don't know if the rapture is coming today. I know that the rapture is a lot. When I started hearing about the rapture with the one movie about Left Behind and David Wilkerson's church, that was 40 years ago. I'm not going to say it's tomorrow, but it's a lot closer than it was when I first heard about the rapture and heard about Jesus delivering the church. And you watch those movies and everybody's like arguing, and all of a sudden one wife's gone, and then the other one's there like looking around like, and that's going to be the guy that's talking about there's no rapture. And he might love God, and he'll get to go through that tribulation. But does anybody just want to take and do what God says to do? And if it's time to go, be ready to go. Amen? So in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as of our faces from him, as he was despised and we esteemed him not. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of people get healed in the 30 years that I've been in this church. And Brother Frank, that was at the hospital, that his feet was curled up, I was up there a bunch of times. And when he came in here and they said he couldn't eat and they said he wasn't being healed, all of those doctors went to college. I don't know how many of them read the Bible. God decided something else. And I'll tell you something else I really noticed. That time that he came back from the dead, one day a preacher was up here at a New Year's service, and he got up. With help, he came in, and he got up and walked up here, and he became born again. Right here, during that time. Now, I'm not sure what his spiritual condition was, but I thought, for sure, I can say, when that man left, we knew he was in heaven. We knew that God had did a miracle. So a lot of times we get sick and we're afflicted. And, you know, sometimes we got to get sick of being afflicted. Sometimes we got to get sick of being broke. Sometimes we just got to get sick of the devil's lies. Can I get an amen? I'm going to go to one other verse in Deuteronomy 31:19. By his stripes we're healed. By his stripes we're blessed. By his blood we're saved. The word saved means financially well. It means mentally well. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Deuteronomy 31:19. I'm going to just quote this one because that one may be wrong. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. That was my fault. That wasn't you guys' fault. I was only one chapter off. 30:19. But it says, I set before you today, and it shall come to pass. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life that both you and your seed might live. Now, how many people wake up and just say, I think I'd like to die today? Because I wake up and I ask God, since I prayed that prayer with you the other day when we were having dinner and lunch with Evan, I say, God, I commit my spirit into your hands this day, And I agree with Psalms 91, with long life you will satisfy me. And if I get older than I am now, with longer life you will satisfy me. But and when God's ready to take me, I'm not going to argue with him, and I'm not going to walk around and be afraid. I'm going to do my medicine. I'm going to take somebody. I was talking with an insurance agent the other day, and they were talking about medicines and this, and do you take your medicine regularly? And then she named a disease that the doctors say I may have, and I said, well, listen, ma'am, I'm sorry. I said, that's what the doctors say, and I do the best I can with all that medicine, but I'm not going to say that I have that. I don't have that. I said, and listen to me even a little further. Even if I die of that, I'm not going to say I'm dying of it. I'm going to say I don't have it. Because, see, and you can make all kind of things. I'm going to do what the doctor says, but I'm going to believe that God's word is true. If it says by his stripes I'm healed, even if I have to take medicine, by his stripes I'm healed. If it says I don't have to be broken, busted, and disgusted and can't be trusted, for the last 30 years I've been in this church, I've done everything that I know to do to serve God and be honorable. Now, there's times where I messed it and I ask God to forgive me, but being honorable means that God puts his covenant in us. And if his spirit is in us and we're in covenant with God, the only thing I've ever heard about why people go to hell is let's look at where it says, where you go before Jesus and he says, come into my kingdom, my child. For you fed, there was hungry people and you fed them. For people were naked and you clothed them. And then the people that didn't know him that were on the left, depart from me. I never knew you. And those are the last words those people hear. And you know what? Unfortunately, even people in church don't know God. They know about God. But to know God, you have to invite him into your heart. You have to invite his spirit into your mind. And you have to overcome the devil by faith every day. Amen? So in the morning when I get up and me and my wife call on God, I'm not voting for curses. I'm not voting for death. I'm voting for blessings in life. And increase. Every day I wake up and I say, God, increase me. And I go to the place he tells me to go, whether it's work. For some reason, I've managed to go for 30 years over there where me and Paul work at the D.C. Sometimes they let me go home. Sometimes they keep me there. Sometimes I've got out of going to work. I used to call and use my sister's excuse. I can't come today. I'm throwing up. Be throwing a pair of socks up in the air, you know. But, you know, I quit doing that. Once a boss told me, Sam, the reason you have some financial problems is because you won't show up for work. And you're yelling at me about writing you up because you called in and didn't come in today. It's your fault that you're getting wrote up. And, you know, he told me the way it was. And, you know, I decided to show up for work, and I made more money than I even needed. And I thought, man, all you got to do is show up to be successful, show up to have enough money to eat and pay your bills. God's going to tell you to show up at some place this week. God's going to tell you what you're there for. And you just got to get up and go show up where God wants you, and you're going to come out on the winning team. Amen? So when you wake up in the morning, increase. Now, you putting the wallets up, I love putting the wallets up. I put mine up twice, on Wednesday and on Sunday. But when you wake up in the morning, you're in covenant with God. And it's up to you to get into this Bible and find out what your covenant is. My covenant isn't to be broke. My covenant isn't not to have enough gas to get to work. My covenant is for increase every day of my life. When I get old and retire, my covenant is still with increase with God. Amen? Amen? Now, I'd like to tell you this is over, but I got one more verse. But it's going to be short and sweet. I told Coco, he goes, are you preaching today? I said, yeah. I said, but don't worry, Coco, it's going to be short and sweet. Coco prayed for me a couple weeks ago. We got to give credit where credit's due. There's nothing like sowing a little love offering into Coco's hands. And when he starts telling God, make Brother Sam sell more houses all across this country in Jesus' name, amen. And some lawyer calls me up from Wisconsin and another guy in San Diego, and he's got me writing a contract up for a house in Boonville or some land. And the guy that's his real estate agent's having problems, so they're using me on the San Diego guy who I manage properties for. And another lawyer calls me and says, I want you to go look at this house. We're going to buy it. And sends me a thing with $400,000. Says, show them that if they got a problem with taking the offer over the phone. And then he buys instead of one house, which I thought was good. I thought, man, between Brother A coming to the office and praying and Coco praying that I'm the best real estate all over the country, the guy calls me back and buys two more, and then he asked me my opinion. I said, no, we can get that one for $95. You don't have to pay $110, you know. And it was almost like I knew what I was doing. I looked in the mirror and said, God, did you really call me to be a real estate agent? Listen to God on the inside. It don't matter what your mind's telling you. You need to hear what God's telling you. And Romans 8:11, guys. Because if God's not telling you, then you shouldn't go. If God's not telling you, what will God tell you? God, I need a new car. Tell me how to get a new car. Is this car, if I buy this used car, is it going to make it? God, I need a job that pays a little more money. Could you help me, God? I've been working at Cloyd's for all these years. I mean, I smell like oil, and they only want to pay me $7.50 an hour or $6.50 an hour. Can I go? I felt like God told me to go to Walmart. I was driving over there and seeing the clouds shining over there. I felt like the clouds were leading me to the D.C. But I remember being at Cloyd's and suffering and feeling that pain and that anguish. Like, God, there's got to be something better than this. But I was thankful. When I got that job, I was dancing in there. There was people that worshiped Satan that they put over by me, and they started trembling. And they started trembling because this same spirit lived inside of me, and it wasn't the spirit of the devil with the satanic Bible, and I would be dancing and praising God, and their hands would start shaking like this, like mine used to when I was an alcoholic. And somebody told me, hey, you know, you should bring your Bible to work. Them people are over there reading the devil's Bible. Well, yeah, I can't do nothing about that. But that girl went to the boss and said, I can't work around that guy no more. Me and him are like oil and water. We don't mix. No. Me and her were like, she was the devil, and I was a son of the living God. And, you know, if this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, you don't have to listen to the devil no more. You don't have to be broke. You got an inside connection. Amen? And I wish I had some hair like Cable there, man. That hair's all curly and dark. I think mine was brown when I first came, but I caused Brother A too much trouble, and his turned gray, and I reaped what I sowed. Amen? If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. What does the word quicken mean? Means come alive. It means speak to you, lead you, guide you. How does he lead and guide you? Brother Angelo was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit the last couple Wednesdays, and I'm so glad that work is slow and I got to be here. So I walked in, I immediately had to come up here and take help with the offering, and I thought, I'm needed. I felt needed then, you know? I mean, but I was in the office, and the little girl, Elizabeth, that's a Christian, her husband works with me. I got him the job there. She was coming back, and she was telling the girl that, I can't be here that long. I got to get the kids. My mom's sick, and I got to get them from her. And I was walking back into the way, and I just felt right here like, bam, give her some money so she can buy her and her kids some Mickey D's. I just felt that. And I went over there, and here's my mind. This girl's pretty Christian. She's pretty independent. She's not going to take it. And, man, I was going to pull out a 20, and 25 came out. So, you know, I mean, this is a quick moment. And I go over and say, here, God wants me to bless you. He says, buy you and your kids some Mickey D's or something. And she goes, no, you don't have to do that. I said, oh yeah, I got to do it. I said, I got to put some seed in the ground. I said, y'all got some good kids. And she said, I was literally just sitting here thinking about what can I do for my kids for dinner. Now, I didn't know that, but I just acted on this little pop, like a little pop, like a little vision. Give her some money so she can eat. All I was really trying to do was help somebody. Help God perfect something that concerns somebody. See, there's things that concern me. It concerns me if I tell somebody I'm going to do something and sometimes I don't have it. And if I want God to perfect what concerns me, when he tells me to do something, I'm going to try to do it. Amen? And that's just a little example. Brother A was teaching and telling about a lot of supernatural stuff that's happened on the Wednesday night service, the hour of power. So what I'm asking everybody right now, If that same spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, you shouldn't have a problem. Every day you should wake up. Now, am I going to tell you the truth right now? One of my wife's, first wife I moved here with, she died of cancer, and I felt like hiding, and I felt depressed, and I took some medicine. But, you know, as soon as I realized I didn't need medicine, and being a recovering drug addict, I had all this morphine, all this Stelada, and it was $5,000 worth of drugs on the street. And I was there, and the devil was telling me this and telling me that. I mean, I just took all of that stuff, and I went to the toilet, and I flushed it. And when I flushed it, there was a surge of that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that I'm no longer that old man. I don't need drugs. I don't need alcohol. I don't need money that bad. You know what? I got up and started washing my face. There's been times that I broke up with girls I probably shouldn't have been with. One time I was all sad because I broke up with this girl, and me and Brother Angelo was eating, and the Godfather came out of him. He goes, "What do you want me to do, slap you?" The girl had a chin that hung down to the floor, Sam. The best thing that ever happened was you breaking up with her. And then he had me laughing by that time. But you know, sometimes things are going to happen. Sometimes things are going to happen in your life. But she did sing Jesus Take the Wheel real bad, so don't let me, you know, we're not on film, thank God. People be calling me wanting to sue me or something, Brother Angelo. But you know what? God is so good to me personally. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. And I don't preach like nobody else. I'm not perfect. But for 30-something years since I accepted Christ as my Savior, by the time you accept Christ as your Savior, and you may want to rededicate your life. You may want to just say, "God, what do I need to fix? Who do I need to say I'm sorry to?" If something's not working that I talked about, where God's blessing you and increasing you, you may need to say, "God, what do I need to do? I want that blessing that Brother Sam was talking about, or Uncle Sam, Pastor Sam, Deacon Sam." You know that Sam that used to take the trash out all the time until Pastor Kelly got married to Frank. Now he steals my job. He's the only one that ever helped me with the trash. I don't know. I can't say nothing bad about him. Happy birthday again, Frank. I love you. So if you need God to work in your life and increase finances, if you need to increase your relationship, because I don't want to stand. One of the great fears of my life is I want to do everything God tells me to do with what's left in my life. God tells me to not work at Walmart no more. I'm just going to do that. But he hasn't told me that yet, so I still have that job. I just went and got $1,000 worth of some medicine that the doctors put me on, and it cost $114, two $12 prescriptions, and one that cost $900 costed $100 or $99. So I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. But if you need to be enlarged, if you need a revelation with God what to do, just, man, stand, and I'm going to pray right now. If you need some insight on what to do, should I stay or should I go? Should I sell or should I keep? In my case, I'm saying, "God, I know I'm supposed to shut up. Can you help me?" But I've learned to shut up. That's why I still have a wife at home that she's at work right now, because I, you know, if I get her, I can see when those eyes start rolling. And Brother Angelo said, "Sam, we know you know how to put people in the nut zone. If God can ever get a hold of you and you can go by the Holy Spirit and learn to put people in the Spirit, you're going to be a great man." And I've tried to honor that, and I do. But I'm going to just pray right now. Father God, Jabez said he didn't want to cause pain. He didn't want to be associated with pain. We don't want to be associated with sickness. We want to be associated with healing. And by your stripes, we're healed. And God, Jabez said that unless your hand would be with him, he couldn't do the things that he needed to do. He asked that your hand would be in him. And then he asked that you would enlarge his place, enlarge him. But just enlarging him and not being with him wouldn't be enough. We're asking for financial enlargement. We're asking for revelation, Bible knowledge enlargement. We're asking for increase every morning. Father God, everything that everybody's believing God for. Sherry, her mama, Lord, raise her mom up from this bed of affliction. Sister Millie, Lord, raise her up from these afflictions, Lord. I don't care what everybody says. I'm believing what God says. God, right now, touch everybody. Everybody that's in here, fill them with your Holy Spirit, stronger than ever. And let revival come here, Lord, like never before. Let revival, Lord, come here. Where people, it's not just coming here hungry for groceries, and we're going to have the groceries, but people come here hungry for the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's going to dwell in them and quicken their mortal bodies so they'll know which way to go as they're increased. And thank you for working on my sister's behalf. Thank you, God, for her son. I watched my sister stand up and pray for Dwayne, and it reminded me of my mother praying for years for me. And when I went and got saved in that church, Pastor Robertson said, Sam, your mother asked for prayer for you every week. I started to want to tell her, I'm not praying for Sam anymore. I'm sick of praying for Sam. I watched her do the same thing for her son, and now he does videos for Jesus. God, quicken our mortal bodies today and give us our request. God, grant that request to us tonight. And you know what everybody's requesting in Jesus' name. Amen. I love everybody. Short and sweet. 10 minutes early, Pastor K.
I always love hearing Sam.